Sunday. We're going into part two tonight. I couldn't do it next Sunday. I said Sunday, I'll come back next Sunday, but Pastor Alex is going to be here next Sunday. By the way, invite a friend. He is a dynamic preacher and speaker. Man, God's going to use him. Their church is thriving in Summerlin, and he's part of that, why it's growing like that. So make sure you come and be there. And I also want to challenge everybody. I know I've challenged our men's team and our women's team. We're all going to be here to support the kids' training. Amen. Kids are our future. Amen. If we have the kids in the future, guess what? The future is all sewed up and real good. Amen. So Ecclesiastes chapter 3, and we're going to just read one verse. To everything there is a season. Everybody say season. A time for every purpose under heaven. Lord, we know that your word is powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. We know that your word is anointed. Now I pray you anoint your servant. I pray you, Father, just remove any distractions from our mind or our midst. God, I pray you help me to communicate clearly what you want to speak to your church here tonight. We love you. We give you praise in Jesus' name. And everyone said, turn to somebody and say, watch out, because I'm walking into a new season. And you could be seated. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm going to jump right into it. Like I said, Sunday, I did a big introduction for it Sunday, and the anointing, man, just was, I had to flow the way I did, and there was a lot of things going on in the spirit. But as it says here, as the man of wisdom writes here, he says, to everything there is a season. So we know that God works in seasons. We know that. I think we all kind of know that just by the way creation is. And I think you know that in your own life, you go through seasonal times. You go through seasons of mountaintop experiences. And then you also go through seasons where you're like in the valley. You go through seasons where it's daylight and everything's great. And you go through those dark night seasons where, have you ever been up all night where you couldn't sleep? And it's like a never-ending night. And it's not because you want to be, or not because you had any kind of anything inside of you to make you be up, but just because you just were worried, or had anxiety and you just couldn't sleep, and you were moving around and just get up and you try to drink some milk or some coffee or something, and nothing settles you down, and you're just up all night and you're worried. And have you ever been through those kind of seasons where you just can't seem to find rest in your mind like that? There's some times like that where they last and the nighttime lasts over and over and over. And there are times when the daylight appears and you say, oh, man, it's so nice to be out of that season. Like just the last few nights, the last whole week, we've seen crazy rains, crazy weather happen. And then the very next day, just nothing. Isn't that amazing how seasons change? Just by looking at that visibly, we see that God works in seasons. But if you look at your own life, you look back any length of time, you see that God works in seasons in our lives. And that's when God wants to do something, he always changes the season. And see, you go through seasons of your life for a reason. Sometimes they're real good reasons. There are sometimes good seasons. And then sometimes it's not even a good season, it's a bad season. But you realize when you come out of it, you realize, I had to go through that to get where I'm at. And see, what you have inside of you won't come out until the season is working. The season works it out for you. And you have, it's in that season that you have to expect, you know, but I know something good's gonna come out of this season. You remember when you were real broke? You might be saying, I'm in that season right now. But you remember when you were real broke and you couldn't do nothing, and you couldn't buy no school clothes, and you couldn't do this, and then all of a sudden you had a breakthrough, you got a new job, or there was a breakthrough in your finances, and all of a sudden there was a new season in your life. But remember when you didn't have nothing? See, the problem with a lot of people is they forget when they didn't have nothing. They don't realize that when you don't have nothing season, it's a good season. Because you learn how to depend on God and not your boss. You learn how to depend on God and not the almighty dollar. You learn how to depend on the Lord. And then when you get the dollar, it's not almighty to you. You get dollar goes in the hands of the almighty. You've got to have a spirit of expectation that accompanies your season. So when you walk into a season, you say, this is going to be a great season, and you expect great things. When it's a tough season, you have to expect tough things. You know what? I'm expecting some tough road up ahead, but I know the God that I serve, and I know that he'll get me through the season. See? One of the greatest examples of someone who had to learn in their seasons was Peter. We talked a little bit about him on Sunday, but we're going to really dive in there tonight. See, Peter didn't even know what was inside of him. He had such a big mouth and his mind worked so fast that the words would come out of his mouth before he could even finish thinking. See? He would just right away, and his mind is still trying to figure it out. And they called him a reed. And he was a stubborn know-it-all. Spoke out of place. Jumped in right away when Jesus was talking. Jumped in the middle of his conversation right away. Couldn't listen. Just talked all the time. Didn't know how to take any kind of advice. Anybody talked to him and he thought it was personal. He had all this stuff with him. So God had to get that stuff out of him. And there ain't nothing like walking on the water and thinking you're all that in a bag of chips and then sinking in front of everybody to realize that, okay, I don't got it all together. I need God. See, when he finally saw who he was, when he finally admitted who he was, when he finally just got in the place where he needed God, God uses him tremendously. God used his life. And see, just when he thought he was out, Jesus pulled him right back in. Huh? God brought him into seasons. And I want to break down those seasons of his life. You think about his life, his calling, his process. You think about everything he had to go through. It relates to all of us. There's not one of us that it doesn't relate to. I'm reading a book now, a brand new book. This is a picture we have in the green room right there where the men's team meets at. It's kind of like our boardroom, and we have our staff meetings there. And there's a picture. It's the picture that Rembrandt drew of the prodigal son. And if you look at the picture closely, it's obvious that the father is the son is on his knees with his head in his dad's laps, and he's hugging him, welcoming him home. But there's three other individuals there. Obviously, two of them represent some of the people, some of the staff there at the ranch. But there's one of them that's dressed very nice, and that represents the other brother. And now, that picture didn't really happen because the brother wasn't there when he came. The brother was, the Bible says, was in the fields, working, laboring, helping his father. He was a good son. Everything was good about him. But it shows his face. Rembrandt wanted to show his face of this prodigal son, and he wanted to show this face of the good son, just looking at him like, this guy's a mess up. This guy squandered your money. This guy just didn't care about a ranch. He don't care about you, Dad. He don't care about me. He just left us. And it's that look on his face when you look at it, a picture. You can just Google it and look at a picture of Rembrandt and the prodigal son. And look at the picture of that son. It doesn't look like he's going like that or anything all mean, but is he just staring at him? And you can read his thoughts, because if you read the Word of God, you can read his thoughts. But this kid went through a season where he decided to go ahead and just do whatever he wanted to do. But he came to his senses and he went into a new season. This new season he came into was expectation of being ridiculed and criticized and scrutinized by everybody. He never thought it would be his brother, but it was. And he went into a season of his life that just took him to a place where he had to humble himself, and he had to say, I'll go eat whatever the slaves eat, whatever the people eat. I don't care. I don't want it. This guy right here had to humble himself. He had to go from being the son of a king to a guy working in a pig pen. And it was until he went through that season that he realized who he was. Now let's jump back to Peter. Because that's a good analogy that's a really heavy analogy about somebody who had to go through an extreme season to get back on track. We all do, because we're all human beings. But walking into your new season, I'm calling it part two tonight. It really describes about, you've got to learn that God works in seasons, period. If you don't get that, if you don't get anything else tonight or Sunday, you need to know that God works in seasons. And this word, seasons, it really addresses the main points that believers encounter for their lives. Every believer has to go through certain seasons. And I want you to look around you right now. There's not a lot of people here, but look around you. There's a full room in there too. The youth are in there. They're getting down in there. But look around you. Everybody in this room has to go through seasons. I don't care if they like it or not. I don't care if you like it. Well, I'm not going to go. I'm going to be the same way. I'm not going to go anywhere new. I'm going to stay right here in my house. I'm just going to go to church on Sundays. I'm going to come on Wednesdays. I'm just going to do what I do. And I'm going to keep it all simple. I don't care how simple you try to make it. I don't care how you try to control the time. You're going to go through a season whether you like it or not. Come on, somebody. That's just the way things are. Huh? And God doesn't measure seasons with clocks and calendars. But he measures them with truth and revelation. When you finally get the revelation of why you're in this season, why you have to go through it, the truth of the season. Huh? Just like the scripture says, to everything there is a season. Every aspect of our lives is as a season. There's a purpose for each one of the seasons you've been through, the season you're in right now, and the season that you'll go into in the future. There is a reason for your season that you're in right now. You say, I hate this season. I don't like how I feel right now. I'm hurting right now. I'm going through this right now. But let me just tell you right now, there's a reason for your season. And that reason for your season is to get you from where you're at to where you need to be. And until you get what you need in this season, you won't be able to go into the next season of your life. I know you'd like to camp out and say, okay, then just go ahead and punish me, God, and go ahead. I'm all messed. No. You need to be able to look and see, find God's grace in the season where you're at. There's a process in the season. And there are seasons you don't want to go through, but you got to go through them. Amen? You won't learn unless you go through that season. Some of those seasons you went to as a teenager, some of you, the seasons you went to, man, 10 years ago, you wouldn't have learned and wouldn't have been who you are today had you not went through the season that you're in now. Because you went through that, you went to get here, and now you think you got it all together, and you realize, oh my God, just when you think it all got together, I got to go through this season too? I thought I grew already. Yeah, you did, but you're always going to grow. Huh? Just because you're going through some stuff, going through a rough season doesn't mean God is finished with you. The Bible says he who has begun a good work in you will complete it till the day of Christ Jesus. It's not just any work, it's his work in you. His work in us. And you're stepping into a new season. Tonight we're going to take a quick look at Peter. This disciple identifies with each one of us. There's something about Peter that identifies with any man or woman, any believer. Because we all got a little bit of Peter inside of us. Come on, somebody. Peter went through some crazy seasons. We're going to pick three of them tonight. If you're taking notes, write this down. The first one is that when you go into a season, there's going to be change. New changes come to your life. The moment you step into a season, there's a new change. Whether you like it or not, it's inevitable for change. Period. You can't hide from it. It's going to happen. What's going to happen? It's going to happen. Huh? We look outside the world around us, and we look at technology. Every time I turn around, there's something new. And they say, have you seen this? I'm like, really? It's like, I just got used to this. Like, you know, was it 10 years ago? Is it 10 years now that the smartphones came out? I think the iPhone first hit, and then all the smartphones just start falling behind it. 11 years ago, you couldn't slide over something. It was all push a button. It wasn't even a screen. It was a click, click, click. My T-Mobile phone had like little round things on there. You had to press them down. But what were the other ones? BlackBerry? BlackBerries, they were like this. They were the coolest things on earth. Then they just... If some of you still have a BlackBerry, well... You're probably one of those people who don't want to go to no season. You're still back 10 years ago. You want to go like this instead of. Or however you do it. I mean, think about it. Just 10 years ago, just quick 10 years, our whole world has changed. The video world, there wasn't YouTube at 10 years ago. There wasn't any of that kind of stuff 10 years ago. There wasn't all the stuff like you have. There was the internet, but the internet was. Well, wait just a little bit. I'm sorry, my internet's out. It don't even go in. Or it goes out, finally it clicks in, and it comes in. Now it's, you know, if you don't have instant, what's wrong with my phone and my internet? And it's because the seasons have changed. Even you in the home. Some of you are not in the home for like drugs or alcohol. You're in the home for your phone. You withdraw. Say, are you withdrawing? Yeah, kind of. Off of what? My phone. And don't look at me funny. The rest of you too. The rest of you too. If they took your phone away right now, you're going to withdrawals immediately. You know, in China, they have rehab homes for 10-year-olds. Kids for iPads and iPhones. Come on, you know some of your kids. They don't even hug you. They come right to you. I was with Pastor Benny a couple weeks ago. Pastor Benny, he goes, you know, my grandkids, they love me. I know they love me. But the first thing they do when they run to me is they run to me, oh, Grandpa, can I give your phone? You go, they don't even hug me. I said, well, I have a rule. If I don't get hugged, they don't get to use my phone. But think about it. Man, all the seasons change whether you like it or not. It just keeps on progressing and changing. And if you don't keep up with some kind of change, you get left behind. Me and my wife, we stopped at Starbucks on the way over here. And the first thing she walks up, she looks at it, she goes, it's a new drink and a new cookie. She goes, every week they reinvent themselves. They're like new. They're always fresh. They're always coming up with something new. Why? Because they want to keep ahead of the, want to keep in the season where things are going. But if they just have that same old little drink right here, people will go buy coffee, but then they want lattes and they want like little swirls and they want iced coffee and they want white coffee, white vanilla bean, white coffee. And they, all these things they want. So it's always fresh. You know, fresh, flat, white, soy, flat, white, and it's just, I'm like, man, how do you keep up with the changes that they make? Why? Because they're always in a season. We're talking, Pastor Pat and I and Mark, we're talking about, they have a team someplace over there, way over there in Seattle or wherever they're, I guess where they're from, right, Seattle? They have a team. It's all they do is come up with new ideas. How can we go into a new season in Starbucks? How can we make sure it's fresh all the time? Well, let me tell you something right now. You got, as a believer, as a Christian, when you get in prayer, when you're in the Word of God, when you're reading a good book, when you're there, that's what gets you all stirred up to how can I be a better disciple? How can I influence people for the gospel of Jesus Christ? How can see that? That's why we have to keep relevant and the Word of God's always relevant, but we gotta keep relevant, huh? God gives us revelations and truths when we're looking for it, and it propels us into great seasons, into new seasons, into different kind of seasons, because we're creatures of habit. I was sharing with the guys earlier, I was telling them, Sister Barbara was backing it up. When I was first, you know, like when I was from 18 till about maybe like, till I got saved, till about 27, all I wore was my Navy CB greens. Green pants. Navy CBs. Just green military pants and a white t-shirt, and sometimes I'd change it up to like a camouflage. And that was me all the time. Unless we're at a wedding. Then I wore the greens with a shirt. I was a creature of habit. I was stuck where I was at. Even when I first got saved, then Mark said, yeah, and I remember when you first got saved, when I first saved, all you wore were jeans and a t-shirt. I was just right there. I didn't know how to go into nothing else. That's who I was. And we're all like that. We're creatures of some kind of habit. And so you continue to be like that, and God wants to take you from there into a new season. But you can't get rid of them greens. You can't get rid of those t-shirts. You can't get rid of that, you know. I mean, that's nothing to do with clothes either. It's a metaphor. Come on, somebody. But I remember, do you remember when you were a kid how you looked forward to getting out of school and going into summertime? It's like, oh, I can't wait, man. I can't wait. The last day of school is right here. And we're going to have some fun. And we're going to have a blast. And summertime came. And, you know, there wasn't much going on. And you just kind of went through things. You couldn't wait. And then you could not wait, man, to get there. It's because it was a new season. Summer's a new season. It's like a time away from everybody at school, and you got this going on, and you got to have that kind of expectation with God. You got to say, God, I don't know why I'm in this season, but I know this season won't last forever. I know there's going to come a day where I get out of this season, and I'm going to go right into a new season. So, see, change comes. We need to embrace change as well as we need to don't fight it. Don't fight the change. You know, like when it's time to go back to school, that's just in a week or two for kids. And some of them are probably can't wait to see their friends and all this. But some people are fighting, like, I don't want to go back to school, man. It's a change. It's a new season for the kids. They got to go back to school. I think Mark said it, they're going to go into an environment where it's not like the same environment at home. We're talking about Jesus and there's Christian music on, or, you know, you have some kind of handle on their lives. You're going to go into an environment where kids are talking about suicide, but not to their parents, just amongst each other. They're going to talk about sex, and not to their parents, but to their friends. They're learning everything from them who don't know nothing. They're going to talk about drugs. They're going to talk about violence. They're going to get involved with somebody's trying to get them. You need to get in our neighborhood. If you live in this neighborhood, you'll be part of us. And they're like torn because they know what violence does, because they go to Victor Outreach and they know they've seen maybe their father or their uncle or maybe somebody in the church testify, used to be a gang member, and it led me to prison and death and all that stuff. So they're looking at that stuff, and they're looking at that stuff, but they're having to deal with all these things at school. And then let's move past that, because maybe not every school has it like that. Maybe they're just peer pressure, losing weight. The way they dress, the kind of clothes they wear. They're not wearing all the latest, you know, fashion. So they got to go to school with what they have. And so then they got to fight with that, because other people are wearing, like, what kind of clothes? Where'd you get your clothes at? They're facing a lot of stuff. They got to go into new season. So next week on Sunday, we're going to pray for our kids. We're going to lay hands on them. We're going to believe God for them. But think about that, what they go through. They're going into that season. And you know, the Bible says it's a time to play. It's a time to work. The season for those kids is tougher than we think. Looking at Peter's life, he entered into the new season when Jesus called him in Matthew chapter 4. The Bible says in verse 18, he said, Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee and saw the two brothers. Simon called Peter and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, and they were fishermen. Then he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they immediately went from that season of being fishermen and working the same job since they were little kids. That's all they knew. That's what their father, their grandfather, they were fishermen. They were a clan of fishermen. Isn't it awesome how God calls you and he says, I'm going to take you from being that kind of fisherman to be this kind of fisherman. And he takes them, and the Bible says they immediately left their nets. They didn't fight it. They didn't fight it. They just went with him. Now, when things got in the crazy season, they tried to go back. The Bible says they went back to what they knew. And some of you, that's your problem. God wants to change you, but not just because everything's good do you stay changed. When things get bad, you got to stay changed. It's during that time you can't go back to what you know. Well, I'll pay back God. I'll pay back my old lady, my husband. I'll pay back the church. I'm going to go back and... No! That's when you prove who your God is inside of you. That's when you say, you know what? My change is real. It's not partial. It's not dependent on whether things are great or not great. My walk with God is dependent on my relationship that I am building on a daily basis with myself and my Lord. So change. Peter, there was the season of change. When he walked into this season, it was a season of changing. And he had to flow with it. And Jesus had to deal with him. One day, Peter was just an ordinary fisherman. And oh, man, the next day, Jesus came walking by and everything changed for his life. Jesus said, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. Peter stepped into a new season. He was made into transformed from a nobody to a somebody. He's a regular fisherman. It's like all the fishermen there on the Sea of Galilee, just fishing, putting the nets out. He went from that to being one of the disciples where everybody knew who he was. And they said, oh, that's Peter right there. In fact, when they went into the courtyard, they knew it was him. They said, you're one of them, because he stood out now, because he changed. He was no longer that simpleton. He was no longer that simple person, and you're no longer that simple person you used to be when you were not saved. Now that you're saved, man, people look in your eyes, they say, you're different. They look at you, they say, you know, it's something different about you. I don't know what it is, but when I'm around you, I get like, whoa, man, there's something, man, what's, because the season of change. There was more than just a change of vocation. It didn't just change jobs. There was an inward change. It was an inward change. It was a miracle. And the second one, real quickly, if you can come to the keyboards. The second change, the second point I want to make here is that when Peter changed, his example, here's the analogy for us, the parallel for us, is that when we go into new seasons, it's not just changes, there's new challenges. There's new times of challenge. There's new times where you say, I'm changed, you know, but man, that's a big stretch for me, and that's a big challenge for me. There's no doubt that when Peter was called, that he was faced with a lot of changes, but then the challenges came. What about the challenge of, Peter, I'm going to build my church on you. I'm changing your name. Your name is like this now, but it's going to be big expectation, right? His faith was challenged when he stepped out into the water. Jesus said, come to me, and there he goes. And then he started realizing where he was at, trying to keep his eyes on Jesus. Just like us. Just like us. We're walking out on the sea of crazy, this crazy world. We're walking on the tempest of the ocean and of life, and we're walking and we're keeping our eyes on Jesus. Then you see that your bill's not getting paid, or you see that your car broke down, or there's a death in the family, or something's happening, and you look for a minute and... But aren't you glad we serve a Savior that has his eye on you? Even though you took your eye off of him for just a minute, he has his eye on you. And the moment you go down, if you'll just lift that hand, he'll grab it. Get up. Get up. See, that's what he does when God challenges us. His feelings were challenged. When one minute he was proclaiming the Son of the living God, the next minute he's being rebuked by Jesus. He told him, get behind me, Satan. Whoa. My God. Can you imagine? He literally says, get behind me. He's like, this is the man. You're the man. I'm going to build my church on him. And he's like, you know what? He's calling him Satan. His traditions, even his prejudice was challenged when he followed Jesus into Samaria. Because that was not a place he was going to be. There was a big controversy between the Jews and the Samaritans. Think about it. His humility. When Jesus washed his feet, he like, stop. He was challenged. Because that was humbling. You know, one time I took the church with us. We took the choir. We took the music. And we went over to Bishop Cooper's church. New Hope. He invited me to preach. And it was more of like he goes, we want to make it more to the youth. I want to challenge some of our youth in the service. I said, okay. So that's what I'll come with. But before I could preach, they had me sit up on the big chair on the platform. And they brought the basin of water and the towels and stuff. And we said, we want to wash your feet. And I'm like, no. That's what I was saying inside. But I was like, okay. And I looked at my wife. My wife's like, started praying in tongues right away. And I just sat there, and they washed my feet. And I was so humbled. I was just humbled, man. See, some seasons that challenge you, you're going to go through some things you don't want to do. But you got to. Every time Peter went through a challenge, and he went through things, it was tough for him, but he stepped up to the challenge. Every time you go through something, don't run.
step up to the challenge. Think about the time when he, and this is the last part of this, but think about when he denied Christ. What an utter, absolutely feeling of failure and disgrace and disappointment and misery he must have felt. The Bible says that he walked away and wept bitterly because he denied even knew Christ. In fact, if you look at the commentaries, you look that he cursed even. We don't know what kind of curse words they were, what kind of curse words the Jews used in those days, but it was curses that he said, like, you know, blankety, blankety. I don't know that blankety, blankety, blankety. He didn't go to the point to say, no, I don't know him. See, I don't, by the third time when he was denying him, he was saying, I don't know that. And then imagine once he did that and he heard the rooster crow. When he did that and Jesus had already prophesied to him, and then all of a sudden it was like a spear in his heart. Oh, I'm a failure. He walked away, ran away, bitterly wet weeping, saying, I let my Savior down. But what he failed to realize is that Jesus already told him, you're going to deny me. No, I won't. I'll die for you. Jesus already knew, because he knew his character. He knew he had to go through the season of challenge so that when the time came for him to be crucified, he wouldn't run from his call. When the time came for him to plant churches, he wouldn't run for his call. When the time came for the church to be so persecuted, but fear came on them, that he would not run from the call, but that he would stand in the face of his enemy and he would proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, even though it meant he would die. And Jesus knew that the season he was going into, he had to go through that season of failure, that challenge. And every other one, he finally stepped up to the challenge. But this one, he utterly, just completely failed Jesus. But oh, how can you fail the Son of the living God? How can you really fail the one who created, was there when his Father created the universe and made stars and made our eyeballs and made us? And how can you fail somebody like that? You know, you can't fail him. You might fail, but you can't fail him because there's no failure in him. Jesus knew he was going to go through that, and he allowed it so that he could get it out of him. That's exactly what happens to us when we walk into the season of challenge. Huh? We give all our best efforts. Just remember, there's a reason for the season. See, what Peter didn't know, and a lot of us don't realize, is that Jesus' love and his grace, it's greater than your failures. All the years of failing, that's the one thing I had to learn. There's a guy I was ministering to on the phone today. He used to be one of the young guys I used to mentor when he was a teenager. And about just a couple of weeks back, we're sitting around. He's one of my coaches, my grandson. We're sitting there talking, man. He's talking, chilling. And we start talking about the old days, Spadillas. When I was first a Christian, I used to play ball there and stuff like that. And then now I was a Christian, I started going there and mentoring some of the kids and talking to kids. And this one night, there was a big fight went on. And I forgot it was him. I forgot it was him. I just said, I remember one night, man, it was craziness, but I had to take a gun away from somebody. And he goes, what night was that? And like he goes, you're talking about the night that the guy hit me with the gun in the back of the head because I knocked out another guy. He hit me in the gun and he said, come on outside. And he was going to shoot me. I'm going to shoot this guy. So I followed this guy out. And I talked to him. And I said, look, you don't want to go to prison. You don't want to do this, man. He said, give me the gun. And he looked at me. He goes, nah, this guy's going to get it. Man, he's going to get what he deserves. Blah, 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 blank, blank, blank. I said, you know, just give me the gun. I said, you know where I live. Come to my house later tonight or tomorrow. Come and get it. Just give it to me. And he finally broke down crying. You don't want to ruin your life. You don't want to ruin his life. You know what? Let God deal with this. So he gave me the gun. And he went off. He said, Pastor, that was me. And And I looked at him and I thought to myself, what would have happened if I hadn't went through a season before of that to be sensitive, to be able to take the gun away from the guy, that he would have killed him that night? I would have said, hey, it's not my business. I'm going through my own trips. Because I'm afraid of getting shot. I had to go through the season I had to go through to get to that season. And then here's this guy, he's coaching my grandson. After being mentored by me so many, 27, 28 years ago. What does that tell you? If we go through seasons. That was the beginning of another season for me right there, because some things have transpired since then. That was just a few weeks ago. See, when you fail to meet the challenge, there's a special grace and mercy that is far greater than your shortcomings and your losses and your everything that you feel like you fail at. And you got to accept it. If you accept it, God will move you right into a new season. But if you want to stay there and mourn and just keep on, like, you know, I'm all messed up and I mess up everything I do. If you want to stay there, you stay there. But you know what? That's not where God wants you to stay. God's got you a new season for you to walk into. God wants you to step up from where you're at and walk into a new season. Huh? Jesus told him to go to Jerusalem. We know the story. He went to Jerusalem. The Holy Ghost fell. He went out there as a leader that he was. He went out to the front of the whole pack. He was now the leader. The Peter that Jesus knew he was. The Peter that Jesus prophesied he would be. The Peter that Jesus said you will be. He walked into the new season. He stood there before the multitudes and preached the gospel. And he didn't preach it with real nice and real sensitive and real seeker sensitive. He went out there and said, you crucified him. You nailed him to the cross. I'm talking about the one that you're sins. And he began to talk to him like that, and boom, they all came. The Bible says 3,000 people came to the Lord that day. Why? Because Peter now, the seasons he had been through and the grace he received catapulted him. It moved him into a season of being the apostle, the leader that God had called him to be, the leader of the church, the one that was going to establish the new church along with the other disciples. And there was one other one that was there, but he didn't make it because he was a reprobate mind. His mind was not thinking right. His heart was in the wrong place. That was Judas. So there wasn't 12 of them. Only 11 of them made it to that upper room, and they realized they had to get some more, and they began to disciple other people, and they went into a whole new season of seeing the church spread and grow all over. And here we are over 2,000 years later, and the church is still going forward despite the way the enemy tried to stop it. And the last one, and I'm just going to real briefly say that stepping into a new season births new victories inside your life. Peter was transformed from a fisherman into a preaching powerhouse. Think about it. What about you? You used to just be right there doing that. And then all of a sudden, God started working in your life. And look at you now. I look at some of these men in the front row. They weren't always like they are now. Nobody even believed in them for many times until somebody began to see something in the season that we're in. And now look at them. They preach the gospel, and people do music, and they're in leadership positions, and they got great jobs and families. But there was a time when they were just a simple sinner, drug addict man that didn't have no hope for the future. And then one day, God came and said, come on and follow me, Jesus said. I'll make you fishers of men. I'll put you into a new season, but you're going to have to go through some things. You're going to have, it's inevitable. You're going to have to make some changes, and then you're going to have some challenges. But once you experience the change and the challenge, you're going to see that the victory is going to come. And when Peter stood there and led 3,000 people to the Lord, he realized that it wasn't him. It was never him. It was always him. And you'll realize in your season that God was with you, and it wasn't really about you. It was about what he wanted to get out of you and put into you. Huh? God is going to put a new song in your heart this year. God is going to pour out a fresh anointing on you in this season. A new sense of expectation. And you might not know it, but there's more inside of you than you can see. You might say, yeah, but you don't know. That doesn't matter. What's inside of you is powerful. What's inside of you is ignited. What's inside of you is, the Bible calls it, the Holy Ghost. It calls the power of God is called dunamis. There's power. It's explosive. And it's inside of you. But you've got to let God take you out of this season you've been in so you can go into the new season He wants to give you so He can bless your life. What you possess inside of you is greater than you can even imagine. If you could only believe and see what God has put inside of you. And as your leaders, we see the potential. We see what God wants to do in your life. We see that God wants to raise you up as part of His army and even leading the army. But oh, you're not going to be able to do that if you stay stuck back there. Listen, take your greens off. Put some Holy Ghost pants on and let God get a hold of your life. There can be a lot in front of you, but you can't see it. God wants to birth some new pastors in this church, some new evangelists in this church, some new home directors in this church, some new missionaries in this church. Some of you, God wants to put you in a different country, but you can't go in a new country with the same kind of thinking, the same kind of mentality, the same kind of talk, the same kind of walk. You need to go into the new season so God can use your life. I'll close here. Those of you who are depressed are going to begin to be rejoicing again. Those of you who were rejected and you felt rejected all your life, God is now showing you acceptance. Those who had their heads down all the time, God is going to lift your head. Those who are grieving, God is going to put joy to manifest in your life so that the joy of the Lord can be your strength. Those who were once poor are going to be able to say, now I'm rich. Those who were afflicted and addicted are going to once again walk in wholeness. We are stepping into a new season, and those things that God wants to take from you, don't be afraid. Let them go. Let them get out of you, because God wants to put something in inside of you that is way better than you can imagine. I believe I'm talking to some people tonight. I believe I've been to some people that have been through some crazy seasons. Some of you have been rejected. Some of you have been depressed, but now God wants to take you out of that. You can't stay camped out there the rest of your life. You've got to get up and say, there's a new season I'm walking into. And in that new season, God wants to bless my life. Some of you got to learn how to praise God by yourself and not just at church. Some of you got to learn how to get a hold of God when you're up in the morning when nobody's around you. Some of you got to learn how to worship God even if you don't know how to sing. Listen, worship is not singing with your voice. Worship is singing with your heart. Some of you have to learn how to lay hands on your own head and say, come out. Some of you got to lay hands on your own head and say, I'm going to go get prayer, but right now in the name of Jesus, I'm healed. Always, always, always depending on everybody else instead of saying, God, you're my God and I'm going to connect right to you. I'm here to declare to you tonight your new season as you stand to your feet with me. There is a fresh anointing in our hearts. Listen, I don't know. I've been preaching a lot outside of my church lately. And everywhere I've been, it's like every place I've been, everywhere I've spoken, it's like the Holy Ghost has manifested in such a fashion. We're hearing nothing but reports of just people being healed, people getting a hold of God. And I said to myself, Lord, You've given me a message for the church. Wherever I've went, You've given me a message for the church. I said, God, this past week, give me a message for our church. And I believe this is the beginning of that. Some of you have to understand that the reason why you go through the seasons you go through have nothing to do with God wanting to be mad at you, or has everything to do with God just wanting to get something out of you and put something inside of you. Or maybe get something out of you because it's clouding what He's already put inside of you, I should say. Listen, you must not be afraid of stepping into a new season of change. And you must not fear the challenges that come with that change, and you'll see the victories. You've got to have a spirit of expectation tonight. Just like a true champion who stands in the middle of the ring and they pick his hand up. He might have had not the best fight, but when it came down to it, he fought with heart. And the judges said, he's the champion. She's the champion. Close your eyes with me. When God does something fresh, God puts people into a new season, don't fight it. We can't fight it. Just walk into it. Don't be afraid of change. Don't be afraid of challenge. I'm going to ask them to sing this song. And when they sing this song, I believe this is going to be one of the most important altar calls you've made all year long. And I believe it's going to catapult you into what God wants to do the rest of this year in this new season. I don't care how long you've been serving the Lord or how short you've been serving the Lord. I believe there's always a season. The Bible says there is a season for everything. Even leaders, sometimes we have to go into other seasons. From all over this place, as they begin to sing this song with all their hearts, sing it strong, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to open up these altars for you to come and find a place like this. And just all their heart. And say, Lord, I want to walk into this new season ready, willing, accepting what you want to change in my life. I'm ready to accept new challenges. And I want to see the victories that come with it. I just want to bless your name. Yes, I do.
I just want to bless your name.
Oh.
I just want to make you glad.
I want to move your heart, God.
I just want to move your heart, God.
Give you everything. Come on, tell him. I declare blessings upon my life and my family and my church. I declare it. I believe it. I stand in it. I walk in it. I'm not going to be stuck. I'm not going to stay stuck in my last season. I'm going to move into the next season. Come on, bless the name of God this morning. Bless his name. Bless him. Some of you are afraid of going to the next season because you know the next season might require a little more commitment from you. But it's okay. God's given you what you need. God's given you what you need. Just seek his will for your life. Do his will for your life.
You are worthy.
Come on, one more time. Say, by your will.
Yeah.